to do that. Does that make sense? It's straightforward. It's easy. When we come here, I've had a couple of approaches. You know, we're in that silly season with all these people getting on our tellies and telling lots of lies. And I've had two lots of people come to me and ask me in my capacity as a pastor to seek to engage you with political party activity. I said, if our people choose to engage in that, God bless them. Go knock yourself out. But I said, I am never going to use the pulpit of a local church to preach politics, to engage in politics, or seek to engage you in politics. It won't help you. They're all liars. My job is to preach to you the word of the living God, because that feeds your soul. This other stuff doesn't feed your soul. I'm at the point I can't bear it. I just can't wait for this thing to be over, so that we can sort of get back to some kind of normal life. Every time I turn on my television, there's some big bloke from Queensland blarping stuff, and it's like, oh, not him again. Just can't take it. And I'm not going to engage in that, because the word of God is your necessary food. Turn with me to 2 Peter 1, please. 2 Peter chapter 1. And we'll see just why this is so important. 2 Peter chapter 1. Just give you a moment to find that. 2 Peter 1. It's why I love you to bring your Bible to church. Sit there and open it and look at it and read it. Follow along and make sure I'm not telling lies to you. Verse 3 says this: according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. How do you become a partaker of the divine nature? By downloading these precious promises. Where do you find them? Not in the Reader's Digest. There's no promises there. Not in the Quran. Not in a novel. Friends, the only place you can go to download these great and precious promises is the Word of God. The whole Word of God. Not just the New Testament. It's an entity in itself. You need to study and to absorb the whole Word of God. And as you go into the Word of God, you have within you, as a believer, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. And one of his key ministries in the life of a believer is the ministry of illumination. Friends, when you're reading the Scripture and the Holy Spirit is within you, he's the author. You get it? He wrote it. He inspired it. He knows everything about it. And I say, Lord, what on earth does that mean? And he says to me, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And he expects us to switch on the supercomputer and do some study and read and ask for his guidance, and his guidance will come. Great and precious promises. On November the 19th in 2007, in a place called Dyersville, which is not a huge place, it's in the state of Tennessee in America, a 92-year-old lady by the name of Pauline Jacoby, a Christian lady, was shopping. And I'm having a bit of trouble with this thing today. It's giving me fits. This lady was shopping. She got one of those trolleys and she came out with her groceries and she went to her car and she loaded the car in the boot of her car, got into her car, and just as she got into the driver's side of the car, the side door opened and a thug got in and he put a gun on her head. He said, "Give me money or I will shoot you." She's 92. She said, "I'm not giving you anything." He demanded a second time for money or I will shoot you. And she said, "Shoot away, I'm not giving you anything." He demanded a third time. She said, "Look, if you shoot me, I will go to heaven. And you will go to hell." She said, "You don't need money. You need Jesus." At which this young man burst into tears. And Pauline Jacoby, 92-year-old lady, who has stored up the Word of God in her life, faithful Christian, there every Sunday, she stored this up. And she sat there in the face of all this and she shared and she spoke the word of God into this man's life. When they were finished, she said, "Since you're so hard up for money," she said, "I'll give you all that I've got," and handed him $10. That's grace, isn't it? She should have called the police. Pauline Jacoby, an overcomer, and she's an overcomer because she's fed on the Word of God daily for most of those 92 years, and at the moment in time when that was most needed, she didn't go to water, she didn't fall apart, she simply said, "Everywhere I go, Jesus goes with me, and he's right here in this car right now, and he wants to love you." Isn't that wonderful? What would you do? Well, I don't know either. So the second thing, friends, is this. If you'd like to turn with me to Psalm 59. Psalm 59. The first thing is we download God's strength from his word. Every day, reading, studying, hearing the word of God. Memorizing the word of God. Secondly, we download God's strength from worship. And Psalm 59 and verse 17. This is a psalm of David when Saul was after him to kill him. Psalm 59:17 says, "Unto thee," speaking to God, "unto thee, O my strength, will I sing, for God is my defence and the God of my mercy." God is my strength and the God of my mercy. Saul is breathing fire and chasing David to kill him. He's in a terrible situation. And what does he do? He worships. And he calls God my strength. And when you read through the Psalms, as you read through the Psalms, over and over and over, see the same reference. My strength. Well, you know, Neil, that might have been David. But, you know, I've just been diagnosed with a brain tumour. God is still your strength. And I'm facing a terrible situation because I've lost my job. and God is still your strength. You think he doesn't relate to our human circumstances? I know of a family, and some of you would know them, and missionaries, child drowned. I spoke to the father, a man who's a friend of mine. He said, "Neil, I stood there," and he said, "Yeah, we buried our child by the banks of the river that took their life." And he said, "God was my strength." And he said, "I looked across the river, and there's a whole bunch of Aboriginal kids, local Aboriginal kids and families, and they were watching, tears rolling down their faces. And they watched as we buried our child." And he said, "And they saw that in the worst of times, God is our strength." Amen. And we download that strength in those moments by coming to God and worshipping him. And for many Christians, the notion of worshipping God is what we just did here this morning for 20 minutes or so. And that's about the sum total of it. Never been taught, never been instructed, never been guided. Now, I handed you today, or my friend Lee did, and if you haven't got one, make sure you get one afterwards, handed out an article written about praying back to God the scripture. Now, I want to tell you about this practice. This is an adventure in worship for you that I want to engage you in, that I want to challenge you to do. The Psalms are inspired scripture, and yet they're the prayers of God's people, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And you know what, friends? The Jews of all ages sung those hymns to God, and that was their form of praise. There's a whole bunch of psalms called the Psalms of Ascent, about 15 of them. And as they made their way to the temple to worship God at Passover, they sang those 15 psalms. And yet we have lost that Jewishness of our faith along the way. And people, I talk to many Christians who have never heard of praying the scripture to God. "Father, thank you for being my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Thank you, Father, for being my shepherd." And with all that that means, "Thank you for protecting me from my enemies. Thank you for leading me and guiding me and keeping me on the right path." This is praying scripture back to God. And I want to share this with you. This is about, friends, this is about worship, engaging on Tuesday morning, engaging with the Holy Spirit. The Bible, Paul wrote there in Romans, and he said to Ephesians, at least he said, praying in spirit. In most versions it says the spirit. The word "the" is not there. The definite article is not there. But it sounds better in English. But it shifts the meaning a little bit. The meaning of it is to pray in spirit. It's to pray in the power of the Spirit. It's to pray as the Spirit works through you. It doesn't focus on the person of the Spirit. It focuses on the work of the Spirit. And, I often get to my Bible and say, "Lord, as I read the word today," I'm reading in Samuel here, as I read the word today, speak to my heart, teach me, and guide me. And I find myself reading and praying and reading and praying. That's praying the scripture back to God. Amen. Engages you with the Holy Spirit and prays the scripture back to God. In 2009, you may remember, there was a horrifying earthquake in Haiti. You probably remember seeing, trying to get the names of these people. A fellow by the name of, in 2010, a fellow by the name of Richard Stearns went across from America. Richard Stearns was a Christian author, and he went across and he went to church. He went to church that day in Haiti, and the church was a tarp. It was just a tarp. People were sitting on, you know, logs and all sorts of things. And in the front there were some seats. And all the people in that front row, legs are amputated. And they sat there in the front row. And this lady was standing there, and she was leading this massive choir of people sitting under this tarp. And she's leading them with her left hand like this. And he said the music, the worship was, he said it was overwhelming. I feel my skin crawl. I'm seeing these people who can't stand to worship because they've had their legs amputated. He found out later that this lady's right arm was amputated at the shoulder and scapula, and her left leg was amputated, and she had an artificial leg. She was able to stand. And she stood there in the midst of all of this, and these people lifted their hearts and they worshipped the King of Glory. Because they were overcomers. They were overcomers. They downloaded into their heart, not their own strength, because they don't have any. They downloaded into their own heart the power of God, the might of God, the strength of God. And of course, as we'll see in a moment, Paul made the statement that his strength is made perfect in our weakness. Physicists will argue that there's no such thing as darkness because you can't measure it. But you can measure light. Therefore, darkness is the absence of light. Sounds like double Dutch, but in physics parlance, it makes a lot of sense. When you take away the light, the darkness comes in. When you shine the light on the darkness, it disappears because it's a non-entity. And it's the same thing with weakness. Weakness is not a reality. Strength is a reality. Weakness is the absence of strength. We don't have that strength. We are weak in our flesh, and we are commanded to download the strength of God. And God says, I'll tell you how easy I'll make it for you. Read the word and worship me, and I will download my strength to you. Can you do that? Is that doable so far? Good. Next one's even more doable. The next one, look at this thing here. I've got to use this thing here like this to keep these glasses on my melon. This is the most horrible one of all. Nobody likes this. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah Isaiah chapter 40. We download God's strength by waiting. Oh, I'm not a good waiter. I'm wired a bit differently, but God's teaching me. Isaiah 40 verse 30, it says this: even the youth shall faint and be weary, the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall what?
Renew their strength.
They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I went over to America once. I went Europe, UK, Canada, and one seminar in America. And Americans love to sue one another, of course. And I got sued. It was irrational, the whole thing, but it was American, so there you are. But at any rate, I got served with papers, and we had to defend ourselves, and I won the case. It took 15 months of waiting on God in prayer, because had the other guy have won the case, because we have a treaty between us and the US, he could have just simply come and sold up everything that I owned, and I would have been bankrupt. That's how serious it was. My American lawyer said to me, "You need to understand what's at stake here. And this is what's at stake." And the judge came down on our side and threw it out and said it was frivolous, which of course it was. But at the end of the day, it was real. We had to wait. If you've ever had a baby, and there's a few of them around, the really exciting time is, dip, 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 dip. Well, it's gone blue. Pregnant. Wow, yeah, you beauty. This is wonderful. Praise the Lord. I'm pregnant. And you'll have a baby in 8 more months. And you just have to wait. And when we had our first baby, that 9 month period seemed like 9 years to me. It was just like, it's just never going to end. It's a little bit like a Clive Palmer advertisement. It just never seems like it's going to end. And you've just got to wait it out. And in the service of King Jesus, one of the disciplines, one of the key disciplines, is waiting on God. And yet all through the Psalms, you see it, waiting, waiting, waiting. It's a discipline of God, and you have to be prepared to do that. And there's three things you should do while you're waiting. The first thing is this. Get quiet. Slow down, number one. Slow your life down a little bit at some point during the day. Get quiet. Turn your phone off. Turn your computer off and turn your television off and sit quietly in the presence of God and say, "Lord, I'm here to engage with you." And it all overlaps. Now pick up your Bible and begin to read in the quietness. Say, "How long do I need to do that? How long do I need to be quiet for?" Some of you couldn't be quiet for 30 seconds. I'm in that category. I've got to force myself to do this kind of stuff. When that cardiologist said to me last week, "You need a couple of weeks of just being quiet," I thought he was joking. But he wasn't. So I've tried to obey him and be quiet. And it's helped me. And if you take time and sit quietly, things take on a completely renewed perspective. What you thought was gigantic starts to shrivel in the face of a God who is omnipotent, and to a God who is omnipresent, and to a God who is always there. I've told you this before, and I'll probably tell you again, but the day my father died, I wasn't there. And I suffered for days about this, and I said, Lord, if only I'd have been there. And he said, why? I was there. My dad had a vibrant faith in the living God, and Jesus was there for him at that moment in time. I would have actually been superfluous. It's a bit hard to take, isn't it? But there you are. Find time to be quiet. I want you to think just quickly about the prophet Elijah. He's getting chased by an angry woman. And he goes up in this mountain to this cave, and all of a sudden there's this violent wind like we had the other night. We had an amazing storm the other night, and there's this crazy wind. I woke up and all I could think of was, why is Robin vacuuming at 2 a.m? You know, my hearing, you know, discrimination is not great. And I'm laying in bed thinking, he's really annoying me. So I got up and went out, and it was the rain and the wind, and it sounded like a vacuum cleaner. And I tell you, for you engineers in the room, there is a lifetime fortune available for any engineer who can produce a stinking vacuum cleaner that sounds like this. But they don't. And it's like, oh, I just can't stand the sound of those things. So it's a great engine. It's one of the great engineering failures of our time, is vacuum cleaners. You guys need to fix that up. Get that sorted out for me. After the wind came an earthquake. You know what that's like? Cracks and rocks flying and stuff. And then a fire, bushfire. Sounds like a 727 going over when a bushfire comes through. And you know what God was teaching Elijah? I wasn't in that wind. You don't find me in all that noise. You don't find me where the rocks are flying. You don't find me in that fire. When everything quieted down, and there wasn't even the sound of a breeze, the still small voice of God spoke. He said, that's how I speak to man. That's how I speak to you. I don't shout. I speak quietly. Up here, your valley of Elah, right here. I come in here and this is where I speak to you. Listen for my voice. Listen for my voice. I speak through your thoughts. And lastly, we just finish up. We downloaded God's strength through our weakness. I'll just tell you one last little Bible illustration. God brought, under the hand of Moses, God brought the children of Israel out of the Egypt. Only took a few days. And then these spies were sent to spy out the land. Two of them came back and said, yeah, man, there's grapes in there as big as watermelons. Let's go get them. That was Joshua and Caleb. The other losers, do you know what they said? There's giants in the land. There's big guys. They all play in the ruck for Gaza. And it's just like, they'll be too strong for us. They're right. They were too strong for them. But you know what their problem was, friends? Their vision Their vision was on them instead of on the God that had brought them out of Egypt. And he said, okay, when you blokes have had it, you're going to walk around for 40 years till you're all dead. And the kids that you produce, they will inherit the land. And in they went across the river. And they went over to Jericho. You know the story, round and round. They went, boom, down went the walls. How did that happen? Did they scramble up the walls and pull it apart brick by brick? No. They strengthened themselves in the Lord God of heaven. They downloaded God's strength by the power of his might, and God went, boom, and down went Jericho. And then he said to Joshua, now go up and take care of Ai. Yeah, righto, Lord. Well, that's only a little place. I'll just send a bunch of guys up there and we'll sort that one out. Up they went and they got their butts whipped. They got their butts whipped. They cringed away from there like the Carlton footballers from any football ground where they've just played in the last 5 years. They come cringing away and they were defeated and they were beaten. And why were they beaten? Because they went up in their own strength. They did not download the power of God to go and do the job. And then, of course, Joshua said, uh-oh. Then he downloaded the power of God. And they went up and they whipped him. Okay? They went up and they whipped him. And the reason was because they went up in the power of God. We download the power of God, friends, by the recognition of our own weakness. And that's where the biggest problem lies for us, because it lies in the problem of ego. I can do this. I don't know how many times I've heard that in my life. I can do this. I've had a few times with my kids, you know, I'm going to go and help them to do something. No, Dad, I can do this. And I already know they can't. And you know what you've got to do? Oh, you guys with these kids coming along. You've got to back off, take your hands off and let them fall on their face and skin their nose. Then you pick them up, put a bit of Betadine on their nose and say, now, you ready to listen? And that's how it is in the spiritual life. Friends, we need the Word of God. We need to worship God. We need to wait on God. And we need to acknowledge before God our weakness. And when you do that, God will download his power to you to live the victorious Christian life, imbued with his great and precious promises. Go do it.